Well, good morning, everyone. Turn to 1 Kings 17. Time of Elijah, Eliah, maybe you would prefer. And we have the very first incident of raising someone from the dead. We have Elijah praying and the widow's son is raised from the dead. It reminds us of the resurrection. And of course, as we're coming up on the Christmas season, we think and are just thankful for Jesus sending his son to earth as a man, sending his son to die that we would live. And through the power of the resurrection, he lives, therefore we live. And so as we consider some of these things as we go forward, may we pay attention to this prayer today. So the biblical setting of 1 Kings 17 and Elijah's prayer, in the last part of chapter 16, we were told of the wicked King Ahab. In fact, in verse 30, it reads, "Now Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him." And then, to make matters worse, he marries Jezebel. And in verse 33 of the same chapter 16, we read, "Ahab made a woman wooden image. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him." So we have this wicked, wicked king, Ahab. Now, under instruction from the Lord, Elijah told Ahab because of his wickedness, there'd be a drought in Israel and there'd be no rain or dew unless Elijah prayed for it. He said, "Unless or except at my word." And we have the story of miraculously the Lord preserving Elijah through the drought, first at the brook Cherith, fed by ravens, and then he was miraculously fed in Zarephath, which is part of Sidon, by a widow. And so this widow, much more likely, was a pagan. She would have been a part of the Phoenicians, which lived in Sidon. She was not an Israelite and didn't know about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, probably. But we saw her nursing and taking care of Elijah, and we saw that great miracle of providing for the flour and the oil didn't run out. You know the story when God told him to go find this widow, and he found her. She was gathering a few sticks, and he said, "Do you have any water, and could you give me something to eat?" And she said, "Well, I'm baking my last meal. I'm just almost out of flour and out of oil for my son, and then we're going to die." And here then Elijah says, "Well, feed me. What would you have said?" Are you kidding? Feed you? I want to take care of my son. But she fed him, and he said, "You won't run out of flour or oil." And she didn't. She never did. Amazing. So she's seeing these miracles, right? And she must be feeling pretty good about herself, I would think. Wow, wait, I'm taking care of this prophet, and man, the miracles, the flour's not running out, the oil's not running out. And then tragedy hits her. Her son dies. And he probably died rather quickly because it doesn't say that she went to Elijah to pray for him, but rather than he was sick and there was no breath in him. In fact, let me read this account, follow along if you would, verses 20 to 24 in chapter 17 of 1 Kings. "Then he cried out to the Lord and said, 'O Lord my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son?' And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, 'O Lord my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him.' Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room in the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, 'See, your son lives.' Then the woman said to Elijah, 'Now by this I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth and it is the truth.'" So what do we learn from this prayer? Well, a number of things, it would seem. Even when we're kind of at mountaintops with great experiences in serving the Lord and watching him work through us, it's so easy to get lifted up with pride, isn't it? It's so easy to feel, wow, I must really be something. The Lord's using me. But we see here, it's kind of like a thorn in the flesh. All of a sudden, this widow's son dies. What a shock that must have been. How could that happen? I thought I was doing well here with this miracle of the flour and the oil and all, but now my son dies. And so she calls on Elijah, and he cries out to the Lord. The power of prayer here is amazing, isn't it? Oh, Lord, my God. So notice the address. The address is right. Oh, Yahweh, my Elohim, the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he's saying, have you brought tragedy on this widow with whom I lodge by killing her son? And then Elijah takes him upstairs, and he stretches him out on the bed, lies down on him apparently, and three times he cries out to the Lord and said, oh, Lord, my God, pray. I pray, let this child, what, come back to life? Yes, but notice the prayer. Amazing here in the Old Covenant. Let this child's soul come back to him. Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. Now, of course, in the New Testament, we have absent from the body, present with the Lord. But here we have the fact that the prayer was to have the soul return to the body, and the prayer was answered, and the soul came back to him, and then he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, see, your son lives. Then the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth. Well, an awesome prayer. And as I mentioned earlier, I think this is the first instance in the Bible we have a recorded prayer in raising somebody from the dead. So in summary, what do we have? At times of great blessings, be prepared for afflictions and thorns in the flesh, lest we be lifted up in pride. Consider the timing of the death of the widow, and was she prepared? No, she was pretty shocked. But are you and I prepared for those things that can come? Notice the power of prayer. James said, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly. So we see Elijah here. It doesn't seem much like a man like me, but that's what James said. So that means we can pray too, right? Notice the address, O Lord my God, and then the teaching of the separation of the soul from the body and the death. I pray, let this child's soul come back to him. And then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. And then finally, note, the death of the child and his being revived from the dead was for the glory of God and for the honor of his prophet. Similar to when John chapter 11, we have Lazarus being raised from the dead. Jesus said, this is for your glory, Lord, that they may believe. And here we have the woman now saying to Elijah after this miracle, I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth. So we have here then that she is now a pagan, but believing in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And she believes that the Lord's word is the truth. Do you believe that? Are you committed to the Lord's word? Or do you know that the word of the Lord is the only thing that is true? So may you rest in that, and may we exercise that power of prayer, even as we go to the Lord right now and lift up the petitions as led by the Holy Spirit. Amen.